I was very much encouraged at the beginning of this conference. As we sat down and had our first prayer meeting together, it was very evident that there was a real emphasis placed upon the leading of the Spirit of God. And there is no question in my mind that the Spirit of God seemed to be able to minister the truth of God to our souls. And I would just like to end these meetings with somewhat the same thing, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and also encouragement for our hearts in that which is before us. You know, we go through this life, and we're gonna speak about how that there are things in our path that sometime we find to be quite difficult, and there's lots of pain sometimes involved with the Christian pathway. But God has a consolation. God has promises, and He has left us with hope of a very bright future. I'd just like to start out with, I'm going to be speaking from Romans chapter 8, and I would just like to start out with this morning as I was watching a young family walk in front of me out the door of the hotel, I noticed that there was a child resting on the arm of a father as they walked out, and I thought, you know, that's really kind of what I had on my heart, and that is the Spirit of God would communicate to each one of us that we are the sons of God. And we have not, as our brother Robert prayed in his prayer this morning, we have not received the spirit of bondage again. That's in verse 15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, when God was through with the test of man, He was through with the use, you might say, of putting man under responsibility before Him in the first man. So we haven't received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. We have received the spirit, verse, the rest of that verse says, but we have received the spirit, or we have received adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, this is God's desire for us, that the Spirit of God would be able to communicate the truth of the relationship in which we have been brought in before God. Abba, Father. You know, most of us probably aren't Jewish. We probably don't know how that denotes nearness and affection. But it really has to do with a relationship of supreme confidence in one who cares so very much for His children. God doesn't just care for us as we're going through this life and all of the scrapes and the bumps and the bruises that we take, but He's cared for us in the sense that He's given us such a positive outlook as to the future. And so let's just go on. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, there is a power that God has introduced into our lives to communicate His mind, His will, His purposes, the possessions that He's given us. And that is through the power of God the Spirit of God. You and I have a divine being dwelling within our bodies that communicates the relationship that God has brought us into. You and I are the sons of God. And it's not sons of God with any connection to what we were ever in before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior in our first birth. The connection of being a son of God is completely and totally different now. We are in Christ. We have His life and His nature. We will bear His image. Let's just turn over to 1 John. Because I want to emphasize the truth of how God sees us and how He wants us to enjoy the relationship we've been brought into. It says in 1 John 3, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And so as we go into this little subject, which we don't have a lot of time to take up, we are brought into the realization that as sons of God, we bear His image. There's coming a time when we are going to be put on display before this world, and the world is going to see the likeness of God. Now, it's not going to have any connection with what we know, you might say, ourselves to be in this body. It's going to be, we're going to be known as the sons of God. They're going to look at us and they're going to say, "These are the sons of God." It also tells us that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has been given a kingdom by His Father. Because of His faithfulness, because of, you might say, going into death for us, God has given Him a kingdom. A kingdom that is going to have a glorious display over this world. The Spirit of God wants us to know, because of our connection as sons of God, we have been brought into the possession of this kingdom with Christ. We are, it says in verse 17, "And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him." You know, sometimes we are looking for, from God, we are looking for a happy life. And so, many, many times our thoughts don't go beyond the circumstances that our five senses tell us is reality. But you and I have another sense, and that's the sense of faith, which takes the Word of God and the promises of God and the realities of what God has brought us into, and He causes these things to become real in our lives. And one of the realities is, although we suffer with Him now, we'll speak about a little bit about that now, we are going to be glorified together with Him. That is a reality. And faith takes that and begins to enjoy it and begins to make decisions based upon the truth that the Spirit of God would make good to our souls. So each one of us, somewhere in our ability to take in these spiritual truths, We're making decisions based upon what God has promised us regarding being glorified with Him. Well, it says we suffer with Him. We suffer with Him. Why do we suffer with Him? Because the world in which we're living, even the environment in which names the name of Christ, there is much that is contrary to the will of God. There's much of the introduction of that which is of the flesh. You know, as we go on here, we see that the creatures here in this world have been subjected to vanity. Because of the choice and the decision that responsible man before God made, the creatures of this world have suffered under the consequences of it. The first man brought such devastation when he chose not to be obedient to God. And the creatures have suffered. And I've thought about the suffering which it speaks about. You know, when we go through difficulties in our families, breakups, difficulties in our assemblies, breakups, it brings a lot of pain. And sometimes we're being subjected to the results of decisions that other people have made. Not to say that as the Lord searches the hearts, as we get later on in this chapter, that He won't find something in us that He wants to bring to our attention. But oftentimes, when we're called to suffer, we're being subjected to suffering because of the result of decisions other people are making. And you know, God realizes that. And He has a solution, you might say, for our deliverance under the circumstances of suffering. Now, our suffering can be anything. Sin brings suffering. And you and I are in a world of sin. We have bodies of sin. And there's a promise that we're going to suffer. But God also has a solution for us. We can be saved, as it were. We can be delivered in our soul from the effects of suffering. I'm not going to go into... I'm just going to jump down to verse 24. It says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." Now, I'm sure that there's probably a better translation. I'm not a student. And so I'm just going to take up these verses as they are in the King James translation. It says, "For we are saved." What does that mean? That's not the salvation of our soul. It's not necessarily, as we had in the verses before, the deliverance of our body. There is a salvation of our body, a redemption of our body. But we need salvation now. As we go through the circumstances that God, our Father, chooses us to go through, we need the grace and the ability to go through them without them really affecting our life and the life that the righteousness that He would have going forth from our lives, the joy the testimony for God, he has a salvation. And that salvation is in our hope. We have the hope of this glory that God has chosen for the sons of God. We have the realization that things are not going to stay the same. This world is not going to be under the influence of sin forever. It's not going to be under the dominion of the prince and the power of the air. God has a plan for this world, and that plan is to set Christ as the ruler and the one who is going to set the tone in this world. And it's going to be righteousness. And God has given us, through the Spirit, because none of us can really enter into spiritual things except it be through the activity of the Spirit of God in our souls. But God has given us the realization that there is going to be the glory. There is going to be a display of the righteousness of Christ, which we are going to be the fellow heirs of. And as you and I are called to go through very difficult times down here, God has set this hope before us. He has not promised that he is going to change our circumstances. You know, there are times when we go through these problems, we think, you know, maybe within a year, our circumstances are going to be completely different. And maybe there's going to be restoration, and there's going to be blessing, and there's going to be lessons learned, and it's not going to be so difficult. And maybe our reputation maybe might not be quite so charred. But God doesn't promise that as our hope. He sets before us something far brighter, something far more lasting, something that is going to take place when God chooses to set up the glorious reign of the Lord Jesus. We're going to reign with him. We're going to enter into his glory. And the world is going to see the sons of God. The world is going to see the sons of God. It says in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." There is coming a day when you and I, as the sons of God, are going to be manifest in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to shine not in with any connection to what we once were, and what we know so well as being, you know, fallen creatures. It's not going to have any connection with the fall. It's going to have every connection with new creation. And it's going to be completely in keeping with what God wants to manifest in his children. You and I are going to shine in the glory of the Lord Jesus in that day. And so God doesn't really promise us other things as being that which is really our salvation. If we're looking for things to improve down here, our circumstances to change, you know, I've found in my own life that, you know, sometimes circumstances don't change. But the promise of that coming glory is sure. And as we focus on what God has set before us, we're going to be able to go through whatever our Father chooses to place in our path. And there's one beautiful thing here. It says in verse 25, "Then do we with patience wait for it. Then we do we with patience wait for it. How does patience come? Tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. You and I are not, you know, patience is a beautiful, beautiful Christ-like characteristic. But it doesn't come as a work of the Spirit of God in our life without pain. And so it says we can joy in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And as we are, the Spirit of God works these beauties, beautiful characteristics in our life, our lives will more and more reflect the glory of the sons of God. I just want to bring out one more. The Lord hasn't left us in this suffering without provision. This also comes through the working of the Spirit of God. This provision as we suffer, as things don't change. It says, likewise, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Just because we have this bright hope, just because we are the sons of God and heirs and joint heirs with Christ, doesn't mean that we're not going to feel our insufficiency. But God has made a provision when we feel our need. That provision, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know, there are times when, as we walk the path of faith and we desire to glorify the Lord in it, there are times when our wisdom and understanding completely come up short, and we don't know how to pray. And yet, God has provided for that. He's made a provision so that we can always pray to the one who will be able to intercede before God. And he'll always be able to do it so that we are represented according to the mind of God. You know, sometimes when there's difficulties in our homes or difficulties in our assemblies, we really have to lean upon this provision. It says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He that searcheth the hearts. And so we have to realize that we have to do with God, don't we? And he is a God who, he dwells in the light. And he sees every thought or action or motive or desire in each one of our lives. And as a faithful father for his children, sometimes he will allow circumstances to try the heart. He will allow circumstances to manifest the heart. And it's because there's nothing that escapes his knowledge and understanding. And he doesn't come short in being aware of what our needs are. And so when there are needs that come up, and I know I'm going over time, I think my daughter is shaking her head over there, telling me that I've taken too much time. But when there are times in which we don't know how to pray, we don't know what God sees. We don't know what God is getting at. We don't know what the light is manifesting. We have a resource in the work of the Spirit of God for us. We can go to Him and we can ask, would you intercede for me? Would you go to the Father with the right concern, with the right desire? Because you know what you're doing. And it's a wonderful thing to know the provisions of the Spirit, this provision that God has given of the Spirit of God. It's a reality. God puts us through these tests that we would learn them. We would learn this reality that He's a God, He's a Father who provides every need that we have.